Amen. All right. My name's Big John, for all those who don't recognize me in a suit. Y'all didn't know that today was a special day. It's the day after a wedding. And when I get my suit dry cleaned for a wedding, I figure I might as well go ahead and get another day's use out of it. I don't know how y'all work your dry cleaning stuff, but that's the way I work mine. And so, glad to see you. And we're going to have our kiddos, if you're ready, going to slowly walk to Kids Church. Ready? Break. This is for pre-K, four-year-olds, all the way up to sixth graders, 12-year-olds. So, and the people who work with them. Because some of those folks are older than 12. But I suspect they have fun in Friends Church. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6. We're continuing our look at the Lord's Prayer. And really we're calling it prayer life or life prayer. What's your prayer life like? And what is your life like? Is your life like this prayer? Because this prayer deals with real life. Maybe not any more clearer than the passage we'll look at today, but I want us all to read it when you get there. And I don't know if we could pull it on the screen. I didn't give them advanced warning. But if we can pull up chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 9 through 12, through 13, rather, 9 through 13, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. With the exception, when we get to verse 12, let's say trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses. And we forgive those who trespass against us. And the only reason is because that's the way I remembered it. And even though it's written in my Bible different, I have a hard time saying it that way. So let's say the Lord's Prayer together and get us on track with where we are. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we've heard your word, and we've prayed it. This is an intricate prayer. Though it's simple enough to be memorized and understood by a child, its depth really can form a structure for our life, for our needs, for our worship. So help us, Father, as we look at this prayer and we think of your word, to grow in our prayer life, to grow our life into becoming a prayer. Thank you, Father, for being so gracious to us that you invite us into your throne room to answer our prayer, to provide our need, to give us leadership and forgiveness. Lord, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse 11 that we're going to look at, give us this day our daily bread, is really the transition point of the prayer, of the Lord's Prayer. It starts off, and it's really all about God in the first two verses. It really stays all about God, but let me just explain. God is the one we're praying to. We address him in the prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's all about God. It's about God's name. About God's kingdom, about God's will being done here on earth. We need to remember that. We need to remember the priority that when we pray, there really is a priority. God comes first. When we come to pray, no matter how desperate the need might be, let's remember that God comes first. Let's remember that we're talking to the King. If we're speaking of a kingdom, then we're speaking of a king, and we need to enter his presence with due reverence and respect because his name is to be reverenced. Hallowed be your name. So when we pray, let's keep that priority of prayer. No matter what our need is, let's remember that. God is the first priority. The world doesn't revolve around us. God's program isn't just to keep us from losing or keep us from hurting or keep us from being uncomfortable. He has bigger plans. So as we look at this prayer, the first part is not only addressed to God, but it's focused on God's name, God's kingdom, God's will. In this part, we see that we're asking God. So God stays in there. It's understood when we say, give us. Who are we speaking to? We're certainly not just shouting it towards the sky or to the ceiling. Give us something, whoever's out there. Help us. Can you hear me? Are you there? They tell a story about a fellow who fell off a cliff. And he grabbed on to the last branch sticking out, and he's holding on with all his life. He's holding on. And he begins to pray. Can anyone help me? If you're up there, help me. And he hears a voice. This is God. I can help you. Oh, thank you. Whew. What do I need to do? You need to let go of the branch. He thinks. He looks. Is there anyone else up there who can help me? You know, our prayers ought not be like that. Just kind of aimlessly looking for someone who would give us what we wanted. I confessed, maybe I shouldn't have, and maybe I shouldn't repeat my confession, but when I was playing sports, I didn't care. I prayed to whoever I thought could help us win a football game. How weird I think that is now. How egocentrical. I was going to use God or angels or demons or whoever would answer the prayer. My goal was to win the game. It didn't matter who answered. It's always my goal just to win. So when we get into this part that's about us, we have to remember who we're speaking to. We need to remember who we're humbled in front of. The next 3 weeks, we're going to, you know, including this week, it's give us, forgive us, and lead us. Give us, forgive us, and lead us. This is speaking to the needs, really, of all humanity. That's one of the awesome things about the Lord's Prayer. You can look and what do people need? People need daily provisions. People need forgiveness. And people need leadership. And in this prayer, Jesus has us asking the one who can give us all these things. He's saying, ask the Father to give. Ask the Father to forgive. Ask the Father to lead. You know, right in the crux of all that we need. It's a pretty awesome prayer. So, no longer are we talking about or directly to God and His kingdom and His name and His will, but we ought not never forget who we're talking to. But now we're asking God to supply what we need. And today's phrase really talks about what you need every day. Daily need. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you catch the idea of the daily need? What do you need today? What do you need? What do you really need to live in a day? Have you ever thought about it? What do you actually need to stay alive today? To stay healthy today? To be useful for God's purpose today? What actually do you need? You know the difference between wants and needs? That's not even a rhetorical question, do you? Come on. Do you know the difference between wants and needs? Are you sure? What do you actually need to stay alive today? Do you need your car? No, but in our culture, we kind of do need cars, you know, to carry on business, to do things. We don't want to get too crazy, but I want us to think there's a lot of stuff we don't necessarily need. You know, do you need internet and cable? How many phones do you need? Any? To survive today? I was in a wedding with some young guys yesterday, and anyways, they made me realize I'm not a young guy anymore. And some people might say, oh, Big John, no, I'm not. I realized it. We had to be sequestered into the men's room so that the bride could come out, so we couldn't, you know, we weren't supposed to see the bride in her dress. And as we were sequestered in there, all these young guys had their phone out. Everyone, the whole, you know, all the groomsmen, the groom, and they could have been talking to each other, as far as I know. They could, I don't know what they were doing. But every single one of them were, pop, da-da-da-da-da-da. There was nobody was talking. You ever been with a group of people and you're standing there and we're in the men's room, which that's not usually the epicenter of great conversations. But it was strange. No one was talking. And I realized, what would happen to these guys if they didn't have their phone? You know, maybe they could last the first 5 minutes. But what happens when we get into half hour territory of silence and nothing to do? I think their hands would begin to shake a little and twitch. Have you ever seen somebody going through phone DTs? Well, they're like kind of like, you know, and they're reaching for it. Why's that guy got the shakes? What's he recovering from? Oh, man, he's a phone head. Leave him alone. He's a phoneaholic, man. Ain't no hope for him. Now, we can actually get by without a lot of these things. But today's, let's talk about some things that we really need. And let's talk about it in real life. Because one of the places that humanity really has so much in common is that we're needy. We're needy. It goes so against the grain of American culture, American manhood culture, to think that we need something from God every day to live. But it just goes to show how stupid American and American man culture has gotten. Because the truth is, we are needy, needy people. And you might think for a long shot, I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing from God. Y'all, we need. You might think you don't need as much as somebody else. This last week, we walked around this block that this church building is on, and we prayed this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And this is what I caught myself doing when we prayed. I caught myself changing the words of the prayer in a significant way. I was saying, give them what they need, Lord. Give them this day their daily bread. And I'd look at some of the apartments, and I'd look at, and I'd conceive of what some of the needs were in my brain, as if those folks who lived in that apartment were essentially different from me. You know, they got to be needier because they're in that apartment. They got to be needier in this neighborhood than I am. I can't say give us what we need because their needs must surely be greater. They must surely be needier. I found that in my own heart. Separating myself from another needy community or needy person. But here's the reality. We can pray, give us this day our daily bread, because we all have needs from God. And they're not that very different. This prayer is a further uniting of mankind, not dividing. Well, you know, they need that, and they need that. And those weak people, they need this kind of assistance. And those weak people, they need those kind of handouts. And those weak people, they need this and that. Here's the truth. In the eyes of God, we're all weak and needy. And we all need a handout, a bailout, and assistance from God on high. Every single one of us, every single day. It says in the Scripture that He gives us our life, our breath, and our being. Last time I thought of it, I needed those things to live. Our life, our breath, and our being. Those are gifts from God you receive on a daily basis. If you want to return any of them, talk to Him. Go ahead, do it on your own. You can cast a little experiment, see how you do. The easiest way to do that, just hold your breath. See how long you last. See how long you can go before you say, oh man, I need some of that stuff. We had a testimony shared in Sunday school about someone who ran out of breath. It wasn't voluntary. Something happened to them. They couldn't breathe. And how frightening, scary that was. You got to understand, it's God who created us that provides what we need, even on that level. Do any of you keep your heart beating at night on purpose? Do you say when you go to bed, all right, listen, I don't know how you talk to your heart. You know, maybe you kind of, hey, now you listen to me. I'm about to go to bed. And when I go to sleep, I'll be in a lower level of consciousness. And I'm not going to exactly be able to be there to make sure you're doing your job still. So listen, you keep beating, and then when the morning I wake up, I'll take back over control. But for right now, you're going to have to do it on your own, okay? All right. How does that work? You know, who's really in control? Who really has what we need? I'm going to tell you, God has what we need. God has what we need. This planet even provides. God put us in a good place. Oh, I sometimes think about the Garden of Eden, and it's not about the naked part, but the provision part. You know, God has provided in the Garden of Eden everything that was needed. It just grew up on its own. It was just there. And all we had to do is pick it, prune it, manage it a little bit. It was perfect. Now, we don't live in that world anymore. But I know this. My newly 13-year-old son and his grandmother planted some green things in the dirt by the fence in my house. And in my backyard, not in my house. We don't have a fence in my house. We have dirt, but not a fence. But there, along the fence in the backyard, these green things grew, and now there's red things hanging off the green things. And it just happened like that. Whose design was that? You know, He designed to give us what we need. Now I got these tomatoes. I used to hate tomatoes, now I love tomatoes. I got these tomatoes, I got these peppers, I got these beans growing out of the ground. God gives us what we need. Listen, give us. Let's look at this. This clearly puts us in the place of being the needy one, and it puts God in the place of being the provider. So here's the principle. You need to recognize that you need help from God every day. You need to recognize you need help from God every day. Just like the people who live around this block that this building's on, they need help from God every day. Just like the guys living over in Parchman that I get to visit and Izzy's going to visit pretty soon, they need God every day, no different than you need God every day. Just like the people who live on different continents, they live on the South American continent or the African continent or the Asian continent or the European continent, they need God. Every day, just like you and I need God every day. Now, you might choose to go through most of your days ignorant of your need for God, rebellious against your need for God, or just oblivious, not giving God a second thought. But I'm going to tell y'all, no matter what your attitude is, God still is giving it. We still need it. Hey, when you ask for something, don't you usually say please? At the end, weren't you told to say thank you? Aren't please and thank you manners? How many of us eat every day our daily bread without saying please or without saying thank you? How many people have, right now in this room, how many of us have more than abundantly what we need for today and yet never said please, have never said thank you? Now that says something about us and it says something about God. God gives us, anyway, that says something about who He is. What a great Father our God is. That's why we pray to Him, our Father. Because a father doesn't withhold what the child needs because the child's not polite. Can you imagine that? Your kid's a brat, so you stop feeding them? We'll see. We'll see. You'll shape up. I bet you 3 days and you'll be the politest child in the world. You'll be pleasing and thanking you in everything if you make it. No, a father doesn't do that. When his child needs bread, he gives him bread. He doesn't give him a stone. When the child needs fish, he gives him fish. He doesn't give him a snake. He gives them what they need. And that's the way our Father is. But we need to recognize that we are needy for the necessities of life. We're needy for the necessities of life. God is the one who provides them. Looking at the timing of this, and we've started this a little bit, but the next part is this day. Give us this day. The truth is, you have no other day besides this day. This is the day you're going to obey Jesus or you're not. This is the day you're going to receive from Him or you're not. This is the day you're going to say please and thank you for what He provides or you're not. You can't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, I've done it yesterday. Well, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow, you're not promised. Today is the day you have. This is famous. You want to know a famous thing that folks do when they're going to start a good habit? They're going to start it tomorrow. You know what? I was thinking, need to go on a diet. Yeah, I think I'll start tomorrow. I think I'll get that going tomorrow. You know, I thought about, you know, quitting smoking. Y'all didn't know that. No, I got some concerned looks. I did a long time ago. But I thought about quitting smoking. I'm going to quit tomorrow. I'm going to quit the bad things and start the good things, and I'm going to do that tomorrow. You might say, well, sometimes I do start tomorrow, man, so it works. Yeah, most of the time you don't. Today's the day you have. I'm going to witness for the Lord tomorrow. I'm going to start tithing next Sunday. I'm going to do something next. When I settle down after I had my years of fun in college, then I'll get serious about God. We push things into the future. What future? What future do you have? We prayed this past Wednesday for a person, or it was Wednesday and Thursday we prayed for a woman who died. She was 54 years old. 54 years old. Is that old? Yes or no? There's some of the young people in here going, yeah. There's some people in here looking, they can't imagine what it means to be 30. They're like, yeah, 54? My goodness. No, but 54 is not old. We read the testimony of a preacher. He died when he was 29 years old. Is that very old? No. And he was very useful to the Lord. But it was his time. He passed away when he was 29. How long did the Lord Jesus stay on this place? Y'all know? He walked around this rock, we think, for about 33 years. That's not very long. Here's the opposite of Jesus. Same amount of years. He had a great influence on world history, not necessarily a good influence, but he lived 33 years. His name was Alexander, and we call him the Great. What if these people who did, they said, what if they kept pushing off to tomorrow what they could do today? Matter of fact, we have a proverb in our country, in our language. Don't put off tomorrow till tomorrow what you can do today. How many good intentions, you know, good intentions have a short lifespan. Did y'all know that? Good intentions have a short lifespan. As soon as you're intending to do something good, you ought to do it. You might say, well, I'm going to do this and it's going to last till tomorrow. It's going to run out of breath, suffocate, and die before tomorrow comes. Because tomorrow will have its own set of problems. Tomorrow will have its own set of trouble. We've got to receive from the Lord. We've got to give our life to the Lord. We need to do what God's called us to do while it's called today. This is emphasized throughout the whole Bible, by the way. So if you consider yourself a Bible believer, and you consider yourself someone who says the Bible is wise in its counsel, from the beginning to the end, you can find places where it's emphasized today is the day you need to do what you need to do. Today. Not pushing it off. You can also find in this book that yesterday don't matter. I know a lot of people living in the past. A lot of people are living by the hurts that they've accumulated over the years. Can I tell you something? You're not obligated to carry your hurt. You're not obligated to carry your shame. You're not obligated to carry your resentment. You're not obligated to carry those things that keep you from being in the moment today because you're all tore up with anxiety and with pain and with emotional issues. You don't have to carry that business at all. Not for a moment. Do you think it makes you holy to suffer longer than you're supposed to suffer? God sees my extreme pain and anxiety over what happened 10 years ago when I was betrayed by so-and-so. No, God sees that you're stubborn and you're selfish, holding on to resentments that are long dead. Stop resuscitating these things. Stop pumping air into the lungs of things that should be dead and gone. Let them go. Why carry them? Why pamper them and fertilize them? All it does is hurt this day that you have. Yesterday is out of reach for us, and it doesn't matter. Paul said, forgetting what's behind me, I push forward. Tomorrow is equally out of reach for us. We hope we have tomorrow. We assume we have tomorrow, don't we? And ain't nobody made no funeral plans. I'm the preacher. You need to tell me, right? If you don't think tomorrow's going to come, give me a wink and a nod or something. You know what I'm saying? Tell me your favorite scripture verse or something. Let's have a talk. But if you don't have those plans, I know we're assuming to make it. I've already studied for the Bible study that I'm going to have tomorrow morning. I'm assuming I'm going to make it there. But we're not promised that. And if God puts something on for you to do or to receive from Him today, you need to do it and you need to receive it. Don't put it off. God is the first thing we put to the back burner. We think God is so forgiving, so kind, so parental, so awesome, and He is. So we use that as an excuse to put Him to the back burner. I'll do what God wants me to do, but first I got to take care of these other things. Obey God while it's today. Receive from God while it's today. Humble yourself before God. If you're not used to asking for things because you're too tough and you're too self-sufficient, lose that mask and begin to ask God for what you need today. Not only are we all needy, not only is today our day, but let's look at what some of our food, our daily bread, is. I believe when Jesus taught this prayer and He said, give us this day our daily bread, I believe there's a lot of depth to this. I believe on the surface level, He is talking about bread, what we need to eat. You know, people needed to eat, especially when Jesus gave this. They didn't have deep freezes and they didn't have all this stuff. They needed to eat every day. They needed to have fresh food. They needed to have something to eat, okay? Preservation of food was not as advanced as what we enjoy it. So daily nutrition was very important. But Jesus also taught beyond the physical needs, there was spiritual needs that human beings have. Because Jesus taught us this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You don't just have physical needs. Those are the ones we always think of. But it's not only physical needs that we have spiritual needs also. You're not just a body. You're not simply composed of chemicals of, you know, 77% liquid and so much bone and muscle mass and organs. That's not the sum total of who you are. Do y'all know that? Do you know less and less in our lives we live that way? That's why we don't really think prayer is important. That's why a lot of times we don't get into the Word, because we don't think of ourselves as spiritual beings who need spiritual food as well as spiritual exercise. We have spiritual needs every day. What happens if you don't eat for days on end? What happens to you? You get weak. You're going to get, you know, you'll probably get headaches at first. You'll get weak. If you go long enough, what will happen to you? Yeah, your body dies. Before that process, your body goes into survival mode, starts eating everything, it starts eating your muscle mass, it starts eating away everything until eventually you die. Okay? Y'all listen. I know that some Christians, some of those who come to church, and maybe even this church, and I know myself that I've been in extended periods of time when I don't get into the Word of God. When I don't hear the Word of God, where I don't read the Word of God, where I stay away from the Word of God. Not because I'm angry. Sometimes, most of the time, it's just out of neglect. When I was younger, before I knew Christ, it didn't matter as much because there was no way I could have processed it. Because I didn't know our Father who is in heaven. Because I was not a Christian. But after I became a Christian, God taught me how to feast on the Word. But then I would go through periods, long periods of time, when I would neglect eating in the Word. When I would neglect my own soul and the nutrition it needed every day. What if we could put what our spirit looks like up on that big screen right there? What if we could see what we do to ourselves spiritually? You know, you could see if you hurt yourself physically, if you see somebody, let's say, that has an eating disorder. There are some folks who have eating disorders. And because of the mindset, because of what's going on, the complex issues they're dealing with, they either avoid food altogether or eat as little as possible, or they eat and they purge. You know, that leaves effects on your body. You know, you can tell. You know, when you go to the supermarket, when you go to Walmart, look at the, you know, you can see some of those people we call supermodels, and they look, you know, they're like 6'8", and they weigh 83 pounds. And you're going, that's not even right. What happened? What's wrong? But they hurt themselves. What do you do? What do you think you do to your spirit when you starve it? When you think that the Word is not necessary every day, that church is not a necessary supplement week by week, when it's not necessary to pray or to hear sermons, what do you think you're doing to yourself spiritually? Do you think it's any wonder your character fails? Do you think it's any wonder why you can resist anything except temptation? No, there's no question. You're anemic, you're weak, you're anorexic, you're bulimic. What would spiritual bulimia look like? You come to church, you hear the Word, you fill up, maybe even come to Sunday school, you get some Word, and you go out there and you go, blah. You live your life just like everyone else. You live your life just like you did before you came in the door. Jesus makes no difference. The Word of God made no difference. You came in, you were fed, you purged. Do you think there's anybody who just comes to church like that in our time? In our building, where they just come to church? Hey, I'm just coming to be here. The bread was served. I ate it. I didn't really like it. So I purged. I don't know if you say it with a smile. So I purged. I got rid of that. I didn't need that. Plus, they're serving the same thing next week. I know where to get that bread. But I don't believe it. What would your spirit look like? Would it be 6'8" and 88 pounds? Would it be, have you ever walked in the room where someone's on life support? They can't move. Eyes are closed. Big tube down their throat. You hear the breathing of a machine. It's all artificial, clinical. Scary. How long can you neglect feeding your spiritual self before you end up in the ICU spiritually? What happens? You might say, what happens? Relationships start to deteriorate and break down. Character apathies. You don't have any strength. You become the person you said you never wanted to become. You become the person you never wanted to be. All because you haven't filled up. You haven't developed and grown your inward person, your inner man. It's the way the Bible says it. Your inner man eats spiritual food. And you've got to give it in order to live, in order to thrive. Briefly, the physical and the spiritual, I believe, is exactly what Jesus is aiming at. I just want to say this. I know there's things that we need also in this room every day. We have emotional needs. You know, we need somebody, usually, to validate who we are. I don't know if I want to say need, but if you have somebody in your life, isn't it good to hear I love you from them? Isn't it good to have a hug? Think about if you're raising kids. What if you say, you know what? You just need to hear me say on your birthday that I love you and I'm proud of you. I'll say it again next year. You can count on it. I'll even buy you a card. And I'll put some money in it. Because that's what you need. How would that be? Would that be sufficient to meet the needs of a growing child as far as emotionally? Y'all, we have those kind of needs too, don't we? And you might say, well, where do I get those needs met? Have you ever thought of coming to God with those needs? This piggybacks right on with reading the Word. Do you know the things it says in the Word of God about how He loves His children and how He's faithful and how He provides? Have you been affirmed today through the Word of God? You know, you might be a single person living on your own, a little more isolated, but I believe this, that God can even meet your emotional needs through His Word, through who He is, through observing how He set up this world to make provision for you and me. We have emotional needs as well as physical and spiritual needs. I believe this. I believe if you get into a habit of reading the Word more and more often, you'll hear this. I love you coming from these pages. Meeting the emotional need that you have. You get into 1 John and it says, this is love. This is love. That the Father sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. This is love. And then you bring the cross to your mind. And you realize that you're loved. You realize that God has given to you exactly what you need. And you start becoming a full person. In this in our time, we do focus in a lot on the emotional need. How many people have been stunted because somebody said something stupid to them? I've used the word stupid twice so far, and I apologize. I try to think of it. I don't like to use that word. But how, when someone says something unthoughtful and hurtful, and it bogs somebody down for a long time, you're no good, and you won't ever be no good. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard those words that sting? That trap? That slap you upside, you know, the head? And you might not react right then when you heard it. But it has a way of ruminating, settling down, hanging out for a while like a chest cold and you just can't cough it out. Don't we need God to give us something there? When we have that need, that emotional need, don't we need God to give us something that says, hey, I love you. You're a sinner. God doesn't pull any punches. But I love you, and I want you to be one of my own. Man, you mean I'm sought after by God? Yeah, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Man, if you don't feel sought after, how many ladies get into a marriage and they don't feel sought after anymore? If you don't know you're sought after by God, let me give you an emotional shot in the arm right now. God is seeking you. If you don't know that you're loved because maybe your daddy was distant or unengaged or not even there, let me tell you, your Father in heaven has sought to adopt you. That's in Romans chapter 8. He wants you to be His son and His daughter. You are sought after. If you grew up under somebody that had a critical eye and nothing you ever did was good enough, nothing. You could never make that person happy, ever. So many people project that critical eye on God. You know what God says? I see you, and I've come to get you. It says, don't judge another man's servant or another man's, we could put child, don't judge someone's child. It's because before their parent or before their master is whether they stand. And then it says, and we stand in grace. We stand before God. God hasn't come to cut us down with the critical eye. Oh, look, you forgot to dot that I. You forgot to cross that T. Wham, I'm going to get you. So often we think that way. Do you need a little grace in your daily life? Do you? Do you need a little bit of grace that says, oh, Lord, thank you that you still are patient with me, that I'm still here, that we can do this. God has grace for today. Those are some of our needs. It's not just daily bread. It's just not that crusty, starchy carbohydrates. How many people are on a low-carb diet and they're praying, Lord, give us this day our daily steak. Give us this day our daily protein, oh Lord. Doctor told me I can't have no bread. I got to have the protein. It's not just about eating. It's about the fact that we have needs and He knows how to meet them. We're needy and He's got all we need. If you're here today and you need something of God, need, not want. Y'all understand the difference, right? Need, not want. After service, come up here and we're just going to have a prayer and just ask God, just us in the circle, God, meet our need. Father, meet our daily need. Whatever that might be. I'm going to stop with this one short story about encouragement. And it's not going to sound good, I guess, but I failed to give encouragement, or I gave just a little too little one time. And I don't think this was my fault, but there was a guy who worked at FedEx when I worked at FedEx. He worked there with me. He worked on a different shift. One night I had to stay late on my shift until it overlapped, and he was coming in on his shift. I never knew him. Still don't. I can't recall his name. I was walking out. I said, hey, man, how are you? And he stopped, and he looked at me, and he shook my hand. He said, I'm good. You know, and it just struck me how struck he was that I just acknowledged his presence. 2 weeks after that, he took his own life. I don't know why. I know it wasn't my fault. Suicide is a selfish act, y'all. So don't ever get tied into, well, I made so-and-so do something. This is the lesson I got. That guy needed some encouragement that day. Maybe I gave him enough for that day. I don't know. But I know that there might be someone in here who just needs that much encouragement. There might be somebody in your life that needs just that much encouragement to where they know it's okay to go on. To where they know it's all right, to where they know they're not alone. The best thing we can do, and what I want to do for you today, if you're here and you need that much encouragement, I want you to look up right now, everybody, just look up. And I know you're seeing our roof, but I want you to remember, you know, our Father who art in heaven, whose name is holy, whose kingdom is coming, whose will is going to be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven, wants to meet your need every day. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. He wants to meet your need, and He can. So you remember to look up. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you that your love is not in secret. The greatest thing that we needed was we needed someone to pay the price for our sin, and you met that provision. And it's finished, it's complete, it's accomplished, it's all sufficient in what Christ has done. So help us to be those who turn to Christ with everything we have, laying it before Him, clinging to Him, because He is our Savior who rescues us. So Father, thank you for your provision. Thank you for your daily provision of practical things that we need. Thank you that I believe you're willing to meet all our spiritual and our emotional needs as well. Help us, Father, to be those kind of people who turn their eyes to you and give you praise. Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The ushers are going to come now and take the morning offering. And I just want to remind you, if there's a need, you don't got to come and tell me your need. But if you have a need, a daily need that you want to turn your eyes up and ask Jesus to meet, we're going to have a prayer down here after the service. After I say break, you come down here if that's what you want and that's what you need. That's what you need.